Chapter 3. Love and War. 12 months later, Mr. Darnay had established himself as a French teacher of some regard in London. When he was not teaching, Mr. Darnay was hard at work trying to win the hand of Lucy Manette. On one occasion, Darnay learned surprising news from Lucy's father. A lawyer with an interest in Lucy was visiting the house. Darnay was not happy to hear the news of a rival. He knew the lawyer must be Sidney Carton. There had been some trouble with the law in Darnay's past. Many years before, he was accused of being a French spy in England. Carton, his lawyer, had helped him go free. In time, however, Charles Darnay married Lucy Manette. Surprisingly, one of the first people to visit the happy couple after their wedding was Sidney Carton. Carton did not like Darnay when he had served as the Frenchman's lawyer. Indeed, Carton did not like anybody, really. However, he came to see the happy couple now and to ask to be Darnay's friend, to Darnay's great surprise. After Carton had left, Lucy asked a favor of her husband. "I ask you, dearest, to be kind to Carton. Don't hold his faults against him. I would ask you to believe that he has a heart. He chooses not to reveal it. There are deep wounds in it. I have seen it bleeding." She said this because Carton had told her of his love for her once before she married Charles Darnay. Carton did not ask Lucy to love him in return. He knew he was not good enough for her. He had only wanted her to know that he loved her. In time, Charles and Lucy Darnay had a daughter. The little girl, named Lucy after her mother, was the joy of their home. Around the time of little Lucy's 6th birthday, a revolution broke out in France. On a mid-July morning in 1789, Saint-Antoine became a wild sea of swords and bayonets shining under the sun. A roar rose from the throat of Saint-Antoine, and a forest of arms and hands took up every weapon or anything that might be used as a weapon. People who could find nothing else took up stones or pulled bricks out of walls. At the center of this wild sea of angry faces and fists stood Defarge issuing orders. "Come," cried Defarge in a loud voice. "Patriots and friends, we are ready. To the Bastille." With a roar, the living sea rose and flooded into the city to the Bastille. For hours, Defarge urged on his army of common men. His wife was in the battle as well. "To me, women," cried his wife. "We can kill as well as the men." In the fourth hour of battle, a white flag was raised. Defarge was raised on the hands of his fellow soldiers and carried into the Bastille. The prison of 8 great towers fell into the hands of the people. Defarge ordered a guard to show him the cell in the North Tower where Dr. Alexander Manette had been kept years before. He searched the cell for anything that might have been left by the doctor before returning to his army below. The army from Saint-Antoine held the governor of the Bastille. Passions were high. Suddenly, someone began beating the governor. Others joined in, and it was not long before the governor fell dead beneath their blows. Madame Defarge put her foot upon his neck. Then, with the knife from her belt, she cut off his head.